In this first published Climate Gen episode for a couple of months, I want to thank subscribers for your patience. I've not been sitting idle, but much more trying to digest the appalling consequences of climate heating that we are now experiencing. Every day on social media, climate graphs and charts are posted with varying degrees of deep red and other markers of urgency. Yet nothing appears to happen except the posts become more shrill and the problem of climate disaster becomes more irreversible. As someone who engages a lot with climate science and scientists, somehow I had fallen into a space whereby the actual meaning of these charts had seemed to become abstract, codified and filed away in my mind to avoid real exposure to true meaning. Then something happened. I arranged to meet with Guillermo Diaz Arglas in the Marine Biology Research Station in La Graña in Galicia. The research station is a satellite of Santiago University, and the team here conduct extensive research along the coast and in the river valleys called RIAs. What I expected to be an introductory overview of the research station turned into a horrifying cerebral experience, an awakening, if you like. Guillermo showed me a long stream of images of dead dolphins, turtles, and otters, saying simply, "That was just last week." He then explained how much of the indigenous shellfish are dying. The mussels are no longer forming in this stretch of the coast. The seaweed that bound the mussels to the rocks and the floating platforms are no longer there. The ecosystems that were embedded within them are gone. In 2022, 220 dolphins were found dead along this coast. In 2023, that number rose to 667. In 2024, as of last week, we are already over 315. He then explained that the Atlantic Ocean heatwave that we see in those charts plastered all over the internet is triggering a massive breakdown of marine ecosystems along this coastline. The heated ocean creates more evaporation, which is driving the most incredible downpours of rain. This in turn is desalinating the local waters and making life impossible for many species. The northerly winds that are well known here and blow the warmer surface waters out to sea have stopped. The acidity of the ocean water from constant burning of fossil fuels is stopping shellfish formation too. This is what is meant when scientists speak of a cascade of climate impacts. The Atlantic Ocean heatwave is the main driver of this catastrophic cascade. But this ecosystem is deeply connected to the Galician way of life, their cultural identity, and local economies. Last week, with Guillermo, I met with the head of the regional fishing group. The impacts that I have mentioned are now creating a zombie-like industry. Fishermen here used to work the whole year through, every day. Now they work around 15 days per year and receive subsidies from the government. The lack of life in the oceans due to the ocean heating mean that new species are being shipped in from more exotic parts of the world where they can survive the hotter waters. These species take 3 years to mature and then have to be reordered. Aside from the unknown unknowns regarding dumping foreign species into these waters, the shellfish have to be reordered. However, as this is happening along the coast in different communities, demand is outstripping supply. The government are funding the 3-yearly purchase of new stock, but not the ability to breed them. Guillermo is nervous that the imported and essentially invasive species may have unforeseen deleterious consequences for the wider ecosystem. However, everything is dying anyway. When I ask him what he thinks we should do, he shakes his head and says, "It's too late." These very words are stating very clearly that it is too late to save nature. We are part of nature and intricately connected to its bounty. Just recently, the Guardian newspaper blindly published an article praising Galicia for its super healthy seafood diet. There is no reference in the article to the crashing seafood stocks. The article is blind in its fantasy of long life and abundant seafood, as it is perpetuating cliches and myths about the earth we are destroying. In a moment, I will play the interview I recorded with Guillermo, giving the overview of the situation along this coast. I am resuming the podcast series and will be publishing more material on this specific issue. There is also a lot of material I have recorded on geoengineering that I will publish in the subscriber areas for water level members. It will be edited for use at a later point. This has been an intense period of work and there is much more to do. My book Cop Out is available to order in the US and Canada from the 21st of May. Cop Out explains how we got into this mess, the 30 years of complete political failure to change humanity's course. I am now working on a second book that is looking at the consequences of failure, and although it may sound harrowing, we have to keep in mind that it is just reality. and that life will go on until it doesn't. We have a collective duty to do what we can to sustain and, where possible, restore the damages our species has created. Thank you to all subscribers. Please do get in touch or leave comments. I do try to respond as much as possible.
William. Thanks very much for taking the time. Can you start by telling us what the most notable changes in the marine ecosystems that you've seen along this coast in the last few years?
Yeah, mainly we have a lot of problems with the seafood. I mean, some of the of our local species are disappearing because of the climate change. I mean, for example, the berberechos and the almejas are disappearing because of the climate change.
Okay, because clams are a big staple around here. Every bar you go to, you can get offered almejas, the local clams.
Yeah, this has affected the whole Galician economy because the clams and the mussels.
How does that connect? You said it's a climate change, but how does that connect to the impacts that's causing it?
Yeah, for example, with the warm Atlantic waters that we have these summers, these warm waters, they are like fuel for the storms. I mean, during this autumn and this winter, we have huge storms with a lot of rain in a short period of time. So these heavy rains provokes that the salinity comes down quickly and the clams die because of this low salinity.
So you get the evaporation from the hot temperatures.
Yeah.
And that then fuels these incredible downpours. I mean, they've been frightening in terms of the sound.
Exactly.
And that is desalinating the waters where these shellfish
grow. The shallow waters in the Galician Rias.
Okay, and can you talk about some of the other climate impacts as well? I know you've had changes in the wind.
Yeah, the winds are really important in the Galician environment because the northern wind allows the cold waters rise in front of the Galician coast, and these cold waters have a lot of food for the animals, phytoplankton, zooplankton. So the northern winds are disappearing because of the warm temperatures in the Atlantic during this last summer and even the autumn. So these changes of the winds are changing the food chain of the sea here in Galicia. So there are less food for the animal in Galicia.
We talked about shellfish, but is there impacts on larger animals, larger marine animals?
Yeah, for example, with dolphins, last year we saw a high mortality of dolphins. We still don't know why. We have some suspect, but it could be related to the disappearing of these winds are provoking that the food pyramid is changing. So the dolphins are in top of this food pyramid. So, the could be one of the reasons of this high mortality of dolphins during last year and during this year.
Because you go out regularly into the sea, is it visibly noticeable to you, this die-off? Now, what other animals are you...
Yeah, for example, the mussels. During the low tide, you can see the mussels growing in belts in the rocky shore. But right now, for example, here in the Ria Ferrol, these rocky belts of mussels are disappearing. You cannot see the rocky belts of mussels right now, close to this marine station. And these belts of mussels are disappearing, and they are replaced by 4-inch Japanese oysters. So it's... It's another huge impact for our local community because the mussels are really important for a small organism because they can hide between the mussels. The juveniles can grow between the mussels safely. But if the mussel disappear, this small animal, they don't have these shelters for them, this habitat for them, because the oysters are really flat and they don't give the animals these shelters to grow. So this disappearing of the mussel belts are provoking a huge impact in the small communities of animals. For example, the Nucella lapillus is another mollusk. I think it's dog whelk.
Yeah,
in English, the dog whelk is disappearing in the Ria Ferrol because of the disappearing of these mussels of these mussel belts. Because these mollusks eat the mussels. They cannot eat the oysters because the oysters have a thicker shell. So it's a chain.
So what you're seeing is a breakdown of this ecosystem. And obviously humans interact with this ecosystem because you've got all these fishing villages. Is it being felt now by the fishing villages?
Yeah. Because 10 years ago, they can collect maybe 10 kilos of clams in 1 hour. Right now, they need to spend the whole morning to collect 2 kilos or 3 kilos.
So it's significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... really significant.
When I arrived, you talked about just recently the 14 dolphins in the Ferrol area over a weekend.
Not every weekend.
During
a weekend, for example. It's crazy. It's 14 dolphins in a small beach, village like Ferrol. We have a lot of beaches, but Ferrol is small. 14 dolphins there during a weekend.
And spread out along the coast of Ferrol, because it's an intricate coast.
In Galicia, the last 2 months and a half, we had 200 dolphins dead almost.
No, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that...
It's like a horror movie.
Everything can't keep dying. And it obviously doesn't stop at the border of Galicia. Are you speaking to researchers in Portugal?
Yeah.
And what do they say?
Well, for example, I was talking with this researcher that they were working with kelp forest, and they told me that the kelp forest are disappearing.
Really?
The kelp forest in coast of Portugal, even in the south of Galicia, the kelp forests are slowly disappearing. And the kelp forest is like a forest.
What's killing the kelp then?
Probably the water temperature.
Water temperature, it can't cope.
Probably.
That's okay. Because there's a lot of effort going into kelp development as a lockup of CO2.
Yeah.
One thing we touched on last time was human health implications of some of the seafood, like scallops.
Yeah.
Scallops within the rear can have a bacteria that impacts. Can you just explain what's going on with that?
The scallops filter waters. I mean, they in the water they filter a lot of microorganisms like phytoplankton and zooplankton and a lot of bacteria. So this can produce this neurotoxin that is called amnesic toxin. I don't know if this is the correct English term of this thing, but in Spanish it's toxina amnesica. These scallops accumulate this toxin a lot in their body. So if we consume this scallop, not only one or two scallops, but if we have a regular consumption of this scallop, we can have some neurological problem with this toxin. And with the warm water temperatures, these microorganisms can grow better than in cold waters. So there could be potentially more of these toxins in water that can be filtered by the scallop during more time. So this warm water temperatures can provoke more microorganism growth more during a lot of time. So this potentially can affect us.
Okay. So it's like a signal in a way that the warmer waters are changing things, but they actually can have a long-term impact on human health. And okay, we're talking about scallops, but there could be other things emerging that we don't know about.
Yeah, for example, the microplastics.
And microplastics.
Yeah.
Have you seen
in mussels? Almost every mussel has some kind of microplastics inside their bodies.
Are you still eating this?
Yeah, I like mussels a lot, so I still eat them. But they have a lot of microplastics inside their bodies because they filter water. There are a lot of microplastic in the seawater.
Okay. Gosh. And how long have you been working on this coastline as a researcher?
How long? For 21 years.
And what's, if you look along that arc of your working period or that timeline, when have things started to look really bad?
Oh, nice question. Probably 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
Around 2015.
And has that, if you... you mentioned last year the huge spike in deaths of dolphins. Has that acceleration happened again in the last couple of years?
Since last couple of years, yeah.
And how, if you go back to when you started and you were becoming aware of what's going on in the waters and you look at it now, what's your main concern about it in terms of this die-off that you're seeing?
My main concern is about the water temperature. This is my, I'm really scared of the water temperature. This is why, because, our local species are disappearing. This is a huge problem. And they are replacing by foreign species because there is some foreign species are really well adapted to this new water temperatures. But yeah, probably my daughter she's not going to see the Rias as I saw the Rias when I was young.
In terms of the water temperature, you know, what's the temperature anomaly from what it should be to a healthy?
Here?
Yeah.
During the summer, 19 degrees, 18 degrees. But during last summer, we had 22 degrees. And not for only one day, for 1 week, 2 weeks.
Okay. And it's that's like a threshold.
Yeah. And during the winter, usually we had 10 degrees, 11 degrees inside the Ria. Mm-hmm. And during this winter, we had 12 degrees, 13 degrees, a little bit higher, but higher.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So the difference between winter and summer are disappearing. And for the local fauna, it's important, this difference between winter and summer, because this cold water and warm water temperatures regulates the spawns of the most of the invertebrates in the rias. So what we can see right now is that the spawns of the invertebrates are changing. Usually a few years ago, we had this huge spawns of different kind of invertebrates during springtime and late summer, for example. But right now, we can see this spawns in the middle of the winter, which is crazy, and in autumn, even autumn in winter. So the behavior of the invertebrates are changing because of these water temperatures.
When you look at the global charts, I mean, there's a sustained Atlantic heat wave in the ocean. And this year is phenomenally worse than last year. Last year, yeah, was off the charts, worse than the year before. It's not like we can cross our fingers and hope that this summer is going to be better. Mm. We're on a different pathway now. And you're right, your daughter will never see this coastline
like I saw when
even
I was
I saw it 20 years ago, probably.
Yeah. Nope.
So he said, is there anything that you see that we can do?
A global strike, I mean, against our politicians.
That's it.
I mean, that's it. A revolution. A kind of revolution, a Pacific revolution, I mean. But a kind of revolution. Because otherwise, I don't know. We need a revolution. Something like that. Because scientists, we were aware in our politicians since, I don't know, 20 years ago, 13 years ago, about the climate change. And we were right. I mean,
and the climate is underlying all of the death along this coast, the die-off of species.
Yeah.
It's all driven by this climate cascade of hot temperatures,
yeah,
die-off of wind, changes of wind.
It's a mixture of a lot of things provoked by the climate change.
And it's all due to human activity. Really.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Industrial activity, I don't know. We build a lot of infrastructures really close to the sea. Oof.
Okay. Well, we can pause there for a minute.
Yeah, okay.
We're obviously at a really high point.
Thank you again for listening. Please do order Cop Out and consider becoming a Climate Gen subscriber on YouTube or Patreon. In the next episode, I speak with Rosie Bell and Professor Rupert Reed about their recent book, The Climate Majority Project, setting the stage for a mainstream, urgent climate movement. It's edited by Rupert Reed, Liam Kavner, and Rosie Bell. Thank you.